The Lord be with you. Welcome to this, the fourth Sunday in our Easter season during this time of quarantine. Frequently known as the Good Shepherd Sunday, we begin with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for our celebration this week is found in the second chapter of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech But the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." So today I would like to connect the phrases that we see repeated in the Acts 2 reading, the first reading this morning, and the concluding two verses of the gospel reading, where Jesus says, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it to the full," or have it abundantly. So our Acts reading continues from last week. This is Peter's Pentecost message to the early community there in Jerusalem. And it begins the message with this: "Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ," or is both Lord and Messiah. And it goes on through there a whole group of and clauses that are just beautiful in their compounding kind of multiplication way, expression of deep blessing and privilege as people in this post-resurrection time. So we get a sense initially, or just real quickly, of the immense excitement and wonder that filled the community of faith as they experienced the resurrection of Jesus, and then experienced the day of Pentecost and the inception of the beginning of the church, or the beginning of the community of faith and life that comes with our Savior's rising from the tomb. As we look at our reading, particularly for this morning, the first expression we find there is that they devoted themselves to. This sense of devotion is one of commitment. It's one of giving priority. The sense here is that in order to be committed to something, you must be less committed to other things. And so these things took priority: the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship or the gathering, the breaking of bread and prayers, those last four here being grouped together into two different sections, but all together conveying something of the substance of the life of the early church. We at times have been marveled with the statement that is made here following this, that pertains to the way that some dealt with their property and possessions. It's important for us to recognize in Scripture two distinctive ways that messages are communicated. This one here is descriptive in that it describes what took place amongst the early Christians, early church. This is important in the sense that it can be seen perhaps as an ideal or something that we may strive for, but it is yet something different from a prescription or a command, which bears with it the sense of this must be. And yet I think many today may look at this phrase and think, it remains an ideal that I'd like to explore or be more familiar with, particularly as it pertains to the way that God blessed the community in growth or with numbers, and as we look at the church today and have that same concern for the growth of the fellowship and the expansion of the kingdom of God, perhaps asking, maybe if we lived a bit more like this, that the numbers of worshiping may increase. And that may be true. I just think it is important for us to look at the connection between the disposition towards property and their devotion to the things prior to that, the apostolic teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. For that is the connection that we have here in Acts chapter 2. Some have looked at the disposition of property and possessions as an anticipation of Jesus's return. And that may or that could be, but certainly from a literary standpoint here, the association with the disposition of property is directly linked to their devotion to the things of Jesus. And so that message, I think, we need to highlight, that we cannot separate a right relationship to things and other people without a right relationship to Jesus. And that's what is happening here. At this point, I think we can transition to the gospel reading, where Jesus refers to himself as the gate or the door. As we look at this description of Jesus, that he gives of himself, the contrast is between Jesus as the gate and the Pharisees to whom this message is given. The title at the very beginning of the chapter 10 was, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees." In looking at the initial round here, the initial illustration that Jesus gives, the conclusion there was the Pharisees did not understand this. So it invites us to understand the term Pharisee in a couple of different ways. The first is simply a name that is given to someone of a religious / political persuasion. And in that sense, the Pharisees would say, yes, I am conscious of being a Pharisee. I am aware that I am a Pharisee, or perhaps even I have chosen, or I want to be a Pharisee. I want to be known this way. The second is the negative connection that Jesus gives to this, which implies that the Pharisees don't know of this blindness or this deafness to the Word of God or the Spirit of God that is attached to their orientation. In this sense, it becomes quite negative. And here you would say the Pharisees don't even know that they are Pharisees. And so suddenly we may find ourselves in this category, even though we may not know ourselves as Pharisees in the capital P sense. Yet perhaps we are Pharisees inherently by our nature or our orientation to faith and life. So with that, let's explore how the Pharisees approach this, perhaps in light of the illustration that Jesus gives here of the sheep, the shepherd, and the fold. When we look at the sheep pen, or this enclosure in which the sheep spend the night, it is clearly a place of safety, and with that, the safety from what? Or, you know, what is the purpose of this enclosure, and that is to address fear. When Jesus gives the illustration of the false shepherds, you know, jumping over the fence or stealing sheep, and their intent and so on is for the destruction of the sheep, he is speaking to a real situation that all the people who heard this illustration would recognize and say, yes, this happens. This is in fact reality. And so when Jesus compares himself then to this false sense of where or what it means to be a part of the people of God or a sheep of the shepherd, the movement is away from the security or the safety of this pen, this overnight enclosure. But with that, being called by name, being known, being in relationship with the shepherd, the good shepherd, and then being called out into his presence, and it's in his presence then that the sheep don't just know safety, but they find pasture, and I think here of the full content of the 23rd Psalm in relation to that. Calm, still waters, paths of righteousness, the pastures for nurture and feeding and restoration, but also places of rest and restoration, and this assurance that the goodness and the love of God will pursue us all the days of our lives. So the life then is not found in the pen, or the life is not known in the safety of the pen, but the life is known and found in proximity to the shepherd and to Jesus. And with this then, we understand the nature of his shepherding fully, that he is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And in this sense, he says, these sheep are saved, and these sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. And the understanding here is that in knowing Christ in this way, we not only have a good shepherd in an eternal, everlasting sense, but we have one who cares for us, is present with us, and with his presence provides all that we have need of for an abundant life here in the present day and time. So as we look to, going back to the Acts reading, the people gathered in temple, and they gathered also in their homes. And I'm thinking here of the formal gathering and the informal devotional life of people in their homes. As we are precluded from coming together in the sanctuary here that we know and enjoy, have a lot of positive associations with, we're now forced to kind of focus on the informal life that we have in our homes. And so just an encouragement here to return to the top of this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And this kind of content is again a way of recognizing that Jesus is the door to our access to God. But with our access to God then, a proper, a full understanding of ourselves in a contrasting way in which the Pharisees did not know that they were Pharisees, but we in the presence of God know full well that we are sinners, and in the presence of Christ know that we are forgiven sinners, and know that we are redeemed sinners, and know that with the presence of the Spirit of the living God imbibing our lives, as we repent of our sins, as we celebrate and live in and out the significance of the water and word of our baptism, that we are sanctified sinners and filled with the grace, the mercy, the love, the likeness of Christ himself by his working and by our proximity and relation to him. So highlighting these things for us in this time of quarantine and seclusion in our homes, yet removed from the temple, and yet not removed from the imminent presence of our good Shepherd and Savior Jesus, eternal life, and also the fruit of that life to be lived out now in our day and time as we live as a sheep of the flock, but also as children of God. Earnest in prayer, because in and through this prayer we are encountering the scriptures and the word of God. They become the voice of our prayers. The encounter with the scripture then illumines and enlightens the path for our lives, the keeping of our hearts and our minds, and then the sense of with this proximity of Christ amongst us, then living out our lives in with his power. The reminder here, Jesus' words, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So wherever you are, whether you are with a few family or friends, or perchance if you happen to be alone in your physical setting, you remain a part of the family and a part of the family of God, and Christ's presence is with you. And I bid you God's peace and joy, even in this time of separation, but certainly as we look ahead, hopefully, to an imminent time in which we might return together as a family here formally to rejoice in the informal ways that God has made known himself to us in Jesus, the door. God bless and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Gracious and loving God, we are privileged that you have chosen to send your Son into our world that he might illustrate for us in and through his life and his words what may have first been anticipated through David, the shepherd king. How much more beautiful and wonderful the kingdom that Jesus brings to that of David and his temporal reign, as good and wonderful as that was for Israel at that day and time. So much more wonderful, Lord, is your coming to us in our day and our time, your eternal and also temporal kingdom, your presence coming to bear upon our hearts and our minds. And so as you come, Lord, we ask that you aid us in the opening of our minds, or the comprehension of our hearts to the fullness of what it means that our Savior has risen from the dead to convey the forgiveness of sins upon us and to instill to and for us the fullness of life, true, abundant life that you intend for us as objects not only of your creation, but also now your salvation and your sanctification. Be with us, Lord, through this time in our various places. Comfort us, strengthen us, uphold us, and allow us to live out the fullness of your grace and your love to us in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sovereign Lord, as you have indeed sent your Son as the Good Shepherd, you have through his life illustrated for us aspects of leadership that are proper or true or are righteous in terms of living out the fullness of what it means to lead. And so we look to the leadership of our land and pray that through the example of Jesus, our Savior, and not just by his example, but also, Lord, by his empowering, but by his grace filling hearts and minds, by your wisdom, Lord, you having your way with the leaders of our land, but then through the decisions that are made, seeking the good of our people, that you accomplish your purpose through this time particularly. The times are difficult, Lord. Many are struggling, as you know full well, better than we. the lives that have been taken or lost, and how some have passed in faith, we are sure, and some perhaps without. But the earnest for the coming of your kingdom, your rule as Lord and Messiah of hearts and minds is ever present. And we pray that through this time and through the leadership of our country, your kingdom would come to our nation, to our community, to our homes and our lives, and that we might live fully blessed with your peace. And Lord, we pray with the gift of contentment that you alone, you uniquely can impart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we would like to uphold those who are serving on the front lines of this tragedy, and whether willingly or not, find themselves playing the part of one who would set themselves and their safety aside for the good of others. We pray that you set your guardian angels over these servants of our community and our nation. Watch over them, Lord, in heart and body and mind as they carry out long shifts in which resources, whether they be human or material, medicine, machine resources, may be limited, and forcing then excruciating decisions to be made about where and how to spend time and energy or resources, that you attend each of these with your presence and allow them in the crying out of their hearts or their souls to know your strength and your compassion and your mercy to attend them. See us through this time, dear Lord, and allow us, even if we are not on the front lines in that way, to recognize we remain on the front lines through our knees bent in prayer to uphold the agents or the servants of our country on behalf of those in need. Attend many who are missing work or look to return to gainful and full employment. Speed the return and the restoration of our people in health and also in the economy. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Loving God, receive us into your kingdom and teach us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.